Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the Gospel of John, chapter number 11. John's Gospel, chapter 11. And we'll read the first 16 verses. John, chapter 11. Before we read, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, for your blessings upon it. God, we ask you, Lord, now to bless the time of the reading and the preaching of your word. Understanding, God, without you, we can't do nothing. Pray, God, you would accomplish your will in and through this time. And Father, for all that you do, we'll thank you, praise you. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. John chapter 11, verse 1. Says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things he said, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he spoke of taking rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. We see in this text, as following chapter 10, of where Jesus and the disciples had to flee from Judea, for the Pharisees and the religious crowd had sought to stone thee after Jesus had made claims of his deity. So they stumbled upon, or came to this place, rather, there, and it was there they heard the news that their friend Lazarus was sick. Mary and Martha had sent the word. Called for Jesus, but Jesus abode 2 days still, the Bible says. And after that Lazarus had died, he said to his disciples, for us to go unto Lazarus, for he is dead. Now, they were about to go back to Bethany, a town in the area of Judea. It was the place they had just fled for their lives. Twice they were about to be stoned. So I want to focus here on these disciples in this text. I thought about how critical we are of the disciples. You rarely hear messages praising them. We talk about their lack of faith. We talk about Peter, how he got his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. We talk about Peter when he denied the Lord 3 times. And we talk about the disciples when they feared when the storms came. Those were times when the disciples were called upon to believe, trust, and they failed to do so. And they had to suffer through moments of fear and agony that they really didn't need to go through. But as critical as we are of the disciples, are we not the same way? Were we not called upon to believe? Have there not been times in our lives where we were called upon just to trust Him? Yet we went through times of worry and doubt and concern, and we didn't even have to. Hey, we face moments of doubt. And the disciples here, specifically Thomas, was facing a moment of doubt in his Christian life. But what you cannot question in the words of Thomas in verse 16, you may call him a doubter, but you cannot question his devotion. He says, "Let us go that we may die." He was devoted to his Lord. We like to call Thomas Doubting Thomas. Even the secular world uses him as an illustration of someone who is skeptical of a situation. Oh, don't be such a doubting Thomas. Listen, we all go through moments of doubt. We all go through moments of disbelief. But oh, to have that devotion that Thomas has in verse 16. So devoted to the Lord was he. He said, "The Lord, if he goes and he's stoned, bless God, we'll go with him." What kind of life is there to live if we're not with the Lord? If we can't live it with him? If he goes to die, we go to die. He was devoted to his Savior. But in that statement, listen, in that statement of great sacrificial devotion, we see a very sobering discouragement. Let us go. Yes, he's devoted. I want to be with Christ, even if it means my life to be taken. But he says that we may die. Thomas was devoted, but Thomas was defeated. And I look at this and I thought about the similarities that we have. I look across this room tonight and you know what I see? I see some devoted individuals. You're devoted. I can't question that. You're here. Some of you worked all day. Labored. I've been there as I came to this school. Work all day, get off straight here for 3.5 hours of class. I can't question your devotion. You're obviously devoted. You're here. Why? Because you love the Lord. You want to learn more about Him. You want to be that servant of God. You're devoted, but you might be here defeated. I want to give you that thought tonight of devoted yet defeated. Listen, is it possible to be faithful while being faithless? Think about that. Thomas was faithful. Let's go, even into our death. But he was faithless that we may die. He doubted that the Lord had the ability to protect them and to keep them safe. In this time, he lacked faith, even though he had great faithfulness and devotion. Well, I thought, listen to this, how much do we do for God that's simply out of just plain devotion? The Bible doesn't say the just shall live by love. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Now listen, I'm not diminishing love now. I'm not diminishing the importance of love. Absolutely, we ought to love. And certainly that needs to be a motivating factor as we serve Him. It is out of love for Him. 1 Corinthians 13 teaches us that. Though I have faith, as great a faith that can move mountains, if I have not charity, then it's vain, it's nothing. Faith working without love brings about emptiness. But love working without faith brings hopelessness. Love and faith need to work together. Love will help you endure your walk with Christ. It'll help you endure difficult, struggling times. But faith will allow you to enjoy your walk with Christ. Love will cause you to walk out of obligation. He saved me. I love Him. I will go even to the ends of the earth. Even if it means my own destruction. I love Him that much. I'm obligated to Him. But faith will cause us to walk out of anticipation. You see, Thomas in this statement here said, "Let us go that we may die." That was devotion. But if Thomas would have had faith, he wouldn't have said, let us go that we may die. He'd have said, let us go that we may see. Let's see what God's going to do here. Boy, this is some kind of circumstance he's asking us to go into. Let us go to see how Jesus is going to work. But you see, Thomas was devoted yet defeated. I want to look at a few things. What causes that? What causes discouragement even though we're in the midst of great devotion? How can somebody possibly be that devoted yet that defeated? I want us to look at three things. Being devoted yet defeated will happen when we fail to see past passages. Look at verse number 7 at what he says. He says, let us go, or then after that he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. A couple things to notice. He says, let us go. He wasn't telling the disciples to go anywhere, that he wasn't willing to go with them. Amen. The Bible says he will never leave us nor forsake us. Why does it say that? Read the next verse. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. That's why he's given us that promise to go with us. He's not going to ask us to go through something that he's not going to go with us through it. And his presence is there with us so that we don't have to fear the storms. We don't have to fear the circumstances that we go through. Let us go. Listen, that's all faith needs to hear. As long as that us is in there, faith says, hey, let's go. I want to see what you're going to do in this situation. Because he's with me, I don't have to fear what man's going to do to me. There's no obstacles he can't overcome. There's nothing he can't defeat. If he says, let us go, then let us go and see what he's going to do in my life. When he says, let us go, love says, walk. We want to be with him. Let's go. Faith says, watch. Boy, let's see what he's going to do in this situation. You can be devoted, yet still defeated. Thomas said, let us go. Thomas was saying there, Lord, I love you. Let us go that we may die. Lord, I love you. But Lord, I just don't trust you. I love you. I'll go with you. Even though if it means the stones. But I don't trust that you're going to be able to deliver me. What happened, Thomas? Thomas failed to see the past passages that Jesus had led him through. There's a great little word that ends verse 7, if you'll see that. What does it say? Again. Let us go into Judea again. When he said that, it should have just rang the bell with Thomas. Hey, we've been through this before. And we made it. We just went through it in the past month or so, twice, and he delivered us from the hands of our enemies. There's no reason to doubt him. He's led us through before. Boy, to help your faith tonight, if you start looking at the past passages that the Lord has brought you through. Amen, he's brought us through before. Praise God, he'll bring us through again. When he grabbed us by the hand and said, hey, let us go again. We're going through a storm again. We're going through a trial again. Let us go. We can look back and say, hey, amen, the Lord has brought me through safe thus far. I have no reason to doubt he's going to bring me through another one. Let us go again. Boy, that's a blessing. Let's go again. He'll deliver us. Boy, faith will look at that. But Satan wants us to forget those past times. Satan whispering, yeah, he delivered you before. He just won't do it this time. Boy, don't we do that? All that God's done for us, when we face another difficult time, we think, well, he's not going to do it this time. And then he does. And we went through that worried and concerned, defeated, our heads hanging down, our lip poked out thinking this is it. This is the end. God brings us through. And then we go to the next trial and we say, well, yeah, he brought me through last time. He's not going to be able to do it again this time. Well, the song says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. This grace that brought me safe thus far, grace will lead me home. It'll help add faith to your devotion if you see the grace of past deliverances. Boy, he's done it before. There's been times where we've faced dangers, we've faced toils, we've faced snares, temptations, and discouragements. We met them head on. Jesus just led us through it. Boy, to help you tonight, when you face your next obstacle, boy, just to look back and say, boy, he's really had brought me through a lot. Have no reason to doubt he's going to bring me through this. Devoted yet defeated will cause you to fail to see the past passages. But folks, if you'll just look back tonight, you may be going through some difficult times. Boy, look back at how he's delivered you thus far. If you're saved, praise God, look how he's delivered you from sin. If he can do that for you, what can't he do in your life? Amen. No need to doubt him now. He'll make a way somehow. Devoted yet defeated, it's when you fail to see the past passages. Secondly, when we fail to see the providential pathways. Look at verse 8 through 10. The Bible says, his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Goest thou thither again? Jesus answered and said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. Now Jesus was using an analogy here, so I think trying to calm their fears. They've expressed their concern. Say, Jesus, they've sought to stone you. So Jesus is giving them this to try to help them in their faith. He says, are there not 12 hours in a day? Jesus was speaking of daylight. The day being 24 hours separated of 12 hours of day and 12 hours of night. Now Jesus has already made this statement that I'm sure you've heard quoted many times. He said he must work the works of him that sent him while it is yet day. Remember, he said the hour cometh when no man can work. What he's saying is there is an allotted time for us to serve. We must be busy before the time runs out. Now Jesus, I believe, is referring here to his own death at Calvary. He said he must work while he's here. But he's saying that his life will not be taken until that time comes. Calvary was an appointed time. I don't believe it could have come no earlier. I don't believe it could have come any later. Jesus is saying that there's still time. Don't worry. It's not my time yet. They're not going to kill me. They're not going to stone you. God has a providential pathway he has set before us. What he's saying in essence here, just to boil it down, he's saying, listen, God's in control of this thing. Listen, the enemy does not determine what happens to you. Let me say that again. The enemy does not determine what happens to you. Bless God, God is in control of this thing. God gives the orders. God is able. He has the power. If we walk with Him, He's saying you're walking in light. And He's telling me if you walk with me, you're walking in light. He's saying you're not going to stumble. You're not going to fall. He's saying you're going to be okay. We're in a providentially lit pathway. He's saying when you walk, you can see, yes, there's obstacles and yes, there's snares, but if you're in the light, you can see them. You can, by grace, avoid them. Because the enemy doesn't determine what happens to us. You see, the disciples had it in their head. Listen, Jesus wanted to go to Judea. They said, that's dangerous, that's deadly, we're going to be stoned. But what Jesus is saying, listen, that's not the dangerous path. The dangerous path is when you go the other way. Because when you go the other way, you're walking in darkness. When you walk away from fellowship with Christ, you're walking in darkness, but Satan will come to you. He'll show you the cross you got to bear. He'll show you the flesh you got to deny. He'll show you all the things that are hard in a Christian life and say, look at all those things you got to get up. He'll say, that's a bad pathway. You better not go that way. And many Christians have turned around and went the other way. And that's when they fail. What were they trying to do? They were trying to avoid the danger. But in avoiding the danger, they walk straight into it. That's the deception of the devil. The devil may have you tonight saying, you don't need to go that path. You don't need to walk down that path. There's dangers, toils. But oh, if we're walking with Christ according to His will and according to His Word, it's a lit pathway. Providentially protected. Does that mean that there's not going to be difficulties coming? Oh yeah, there'll be difficulties, but bless God, we're in the light. We're walking with Him in the light. You'll see the snares and you'll avoid the snares. You'll avoid the temptations that has taken so many down. Thought about how many people have come in through this classroom, sat down in these chairs. They got to a hard place and said, I'm just going to go the other way. It's just getting too dangerous. It's too hard. It's too difficult. Satan got in their head, convinced them that they're going down the dangerous path. And they walked out those doors thinking they were walking in a path away from danger. And boy, they walked right into it. I'm sure there's probably been more than one. You probably can think of some. Amen. It's a providentially lit pathway. Satan tries to get your eyes. He tries to get your eyes on the difficulties and tell you that there's danger down that way. But boy, won't we listen to God? Jesus said, if you walk away, you walk in darkness. There you'll stumble. Devoted yet defeated. It happens when we fail to see past passages, when we fail to see the providential pathways, and lastly, when we fail to see the powerful promises. Verse 11 through 15, Jesus is telling them about what He's about to do. He's telling them about that Lazarus was dead and how He would raise him from the dead. He not only promised a providentially lit pathway, He promised a powerful, a display of His power. Listen, unlike they've never seen. He tells him, I'm glad for your sakes I wasn't there. If He was there when He's sick, He would have raised him up from his sickness. If He was there and barely dead, He would have raised him up from being barely dead. Jesus has already done those. He's yet to raise a man 4 days dead. He's about to display a power, listen, that the disciples have yet to see. He's telling them that. He's telling them in essence, I'm about to show you something that's going to help your faith. He says, I'm glad I wasn't there. Why were you glad you wasn't there, Christ? To the intent, He says, that you might believe. He said, I want to strengthen your faith. I want to grow your faith. He's telling them, He's trying to say, I'm going to further your belief. When Christ comes to us and He tells us, let us go again. Let us face this difficulty again. We can look at the past passages. We can understand that this is a providential pathway. But we can know in faith that at the end, there's something for us that'll help our faith, and there's something there that we've never seen. God's going to manifest Himself in a way that He's never done before. Amen. If we can get that going into the storm, it'll help you coming out of the storm. We won't have to walk through defeated, discouraged, devoted yet defeated. No doubt, like I said, there's great devotion here tonight. And I thought about this today as I was meditating on these thoughts of in my own life. How many times have I done something just out of pure devotion? But all the while I'm doing it, I'm defeated. How many messages have I preached because I was devoted, yet in my heart I was defeated? How many times have I took the pulpit? That's what God called me to do. Bless God, that's what I must do. There's no questioning. But I stood behind there defeated. Stood behind a lectern to teach a class. Defeated. Go to church. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm devoted. But walk through the doors defeated. I begin to think about that, and it's happened more times than I even care to admit. This message has helped me, and I pray that it'll help you. You may be here. I can't tell. I know you're devoted because I see you're in your seat. But deep down, you know there is a defeated spirit. You're ready to go with the Lord wherever He leads you, but at the end, you just don't see how this is going to work out well. I don't see how this is going to be okay. Look at the past passages. Understand, listen, that God's in control. You walk with Him, you're walking in light. It's providentially lit. And understand at the end, there's a power that could be revealed that'll help your faith. That'll put faith to your devotion. And you can walk out of here tonight not saying, let us go that we may die. Amen. Let us go that we may see. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day. And praying and ask You, Father, Lord, You work the truths in our heart. God, You put them in this Word, Lord, that we can have and study and understand. And Father, we know how difficult it can be, Lord, to live a life of faith in a day where our faith is constantly attacked. And Lord, we serve You because we're devoted. Lord, You saved us from sin. You saved us from hell. We're bought with a price. We owe You our lives. There's nothing, Lord, we won't do for You. But Lord, in the midst of our devotion, there's so many times, God, we go through it defeated. We go through it discouraged. And Lord, we know that You don't want us discouraged and defeated all the time. Lord, I know You appreciate our devotion, but God, You don't want us defeated. And we pray, God, tonight You work faith in our hearts. Help us to see these truths tonight as You bore them out in Your Word. And Father, Lord, we walk out of here not devoted and defeated, but Father, devoted and ready and anticipating, God, what it is at the end of our journey. Father, may You bless us. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.